praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Life Study emphasizes the capital L life that can be found in the Scriptures. Jesus himself said in John 6:63, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." This is the fruit of over 70 years of ministry by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Watchman Nee began his ministry in China in the 1920s, and it continued until his imprisonment and eventual martyrdom in the 1970s. Witness Lee brought this ministry to the United States in 1962 and began speaking these life study messages in 1974, completing it in 1995. To find out more, you can visit our website, lifestudy.com. Again, that's lifestudy.com. Now, let's join today's program. No two books of the Bible are probably more linked than the Old Testament books of Jeremiah and Lamentations. Jeremiah, a book of God's judgment and punishment upon his rebellious people Israel, is followed by the prophet Jeremiah's lamentations over this suffering of Israel. Listen to his words in the first of these lamentations, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. "How the city sits alone that was full of people. She who was once great among the nations has become like a widow. She who was a princess among the provinces has become tributary. Bitterly she weeps in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. There is no one to comfort her among all her lovers. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies." This was Jeremiah speaking of the utter destruction and devastation that had been visited upon the city by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. And the suffering of Jeremiah reflects that of all of God's people, especially, no doubt, the few righteous among them. And Bill Lawson has joined us today as we look at this transition program. Bill, we are here today concluding Jeremiah and beginning our short study of Lamentations, but those first couple of verses really set a tone, don't they, that is the nature and character of the book of Lamentations.
Right, Chris. You really see a devastating situation. And when you read Lamentations, it almost follows on Jeremiah, the total devastation of the nation of Israel and the lamenting of Jeremiah the prophet. But I think today we'll get into some positive things among this desolation here.
There are some positive things even in Lamentations, but before we get there, let's put a kind of a punctuation on the life study of Jeremiah and the look at this wonderful Old Testament book of prophecy. As we mentioned, here is Israel fully now in God's judgment because of their forsaking Jehovah as the fountain of living waters and all of the rebellion, all of the fornication, etc., etc. But within this book of 52 chapters, there are these tremendous high peaks that we have had so much enjoyment and had so much light provided through the verses. And really, what we'll see today and what I want to talk about for a few minutes before we join Witness Lee is a kind of a summary of these high peaks that form what Witness Lee refers to in his study as the kernels of this book. And there really are three significant kernels, aren't there, Bill? The first of which is what God desires from us. Say something on this point.
Right. Jeremiah is not an easy book to understand. It's like a nut with a kernel inside. If you don't see the kernel, then all you can see is the outward roughness. The first kernel is this matter of what God wants from us, his people, what God desires. And in the book of Jeremiah, that desire is somewhat hidden here in chapter 2, verse 13, where the Lord wants us to drink of him as the fountain of living waters. This is God's desire. This is what he wants us to do today, is to drink of him, enjoy him, experience him, and be filled with him, that we would be one with him and he would be one with us. This is what is revealed there in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13.
And the verse, of course, which we've read so many times, For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. This is the key point to understanding the whole book, isn't it?
Right. You have to see that the Lord himself wants to present himself to us as a fountain of living waters. And that has a parallel also in the New Testament in John chapter 4 with the Samaritan woman.
Right.
The Lord was there, you know, visiting that Samaritan woman. Eventually, he indicated to her that if she would believe into him, then she would have installed in her a well of living waters, and that would be springing up into eternal life.
Yeah, and we had a chance to talk about that at that point in time, but I'm very happy you brought it up again here in this final kind of concluding word to Jeremiah. Okay, the second kernel in this book is found in some of the early middle chapters, particularly 13 and 17, mm-hmm. where God is exposing something of our fallen condition. In other words, we have God's desire that we would always relate to him as the fountain of living waters as our source. But we need to also see, don't we, who we are and what we are in our fallen condition. And there's some good verses on this point.
Right. Like we mentioned in that first kernel there, is we have to understand what God wants us to do, what his desire is for us, to drink of him. But we have to realize, in order to drink of him, he has to deal with our situation, which according to Jeremiah chapter 17:9 and 13:23, that we have to realize our own situation is not good. Our heart is deceitful above all things. It's incurable. It's wicked. Even in Jeremiah chapter 13, you see here the Lord likens us to Cushite, whose skin cannot be changed. In other words, we are in an unchangeable, sinful situation that the Lord needs to deal with first in order that we may drink of him as the fountain of living waters.
Yeah, maybe the verse that's most frequently quoted by Christians in Jeremiah is probably this verse in chapter 13. Can the Cushite change his skin or the leopard his spots? And many times even unbelievers will use this expression. But the key point here is that this is God's work to even unveil to all of us, his people, what we are in our fallen, unregenerated condition. And that's really typified by the nation of Israel in these dark chapters, isn't it?
Right.
And that brings us to the third wonderful kernel in this book. Though we cannot change, we are without any hope of changing or improving fundamentally what we are in our fallen state. God does not leave us there. And that is expressed in, I love this passage. Let me just read it again, because this is the part of Jeremiah looking forward into the New Covenant era, the New Testament period, and really unveiling Christ to us in some marvelous aspects here. Chapter 23, verse 5. Indeed, days are coming, declares Jehovah, when I will raise up to David a righteous shoot, and he will reign as king and act prudently and will execute justice and righteousness in the land. There's a couple of other aspects of Christ that are clearly identifiable in this book, aren't there, Bill?
And that's right, Chris. Again, we have what God wants us to do, to drink of him, then we need to realize our fallen, sinful situation. But then the Lord has a remedy here, mainly in chapter 23 of Jeremiah. The remedy is that God will send his son Christ to us. This is indicated when Jeremiah said, I will raise up to David a righteous shoot or a righteous branch. And we know when Christ came, incarnated as a man, he was the seed of David. He was a descendant of David. He was the shoot of David, something fresh, living, tender in his incarnation. And he was a righteous person, right? Of course, he's the righteous shoot yet. And we don't realize this application to us until, you know, a little bit later in that verse that says that Jehovah will be our righteousness. So this Christ will be Jehovah, our righteousness. It's one thing for Christ to be raised up as a righteous shoot, himself.
That's right.
But
when, our righteousness.
Right.
Yeah.
We have to believe into this Christ. We have to enjoy him. And when we believe into him, God justifies us. And then what he does, he puts that righteous Christ within us in regeneration. So then Christ becomes our righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own, but God makes Christ our righteousness.
And that step is really developed further in chapter 31, the last high peak in this book, where we see the new covenant, not just seen in an oblique way, but even directly referred to as the new covenant. Mm-hmm. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares Jehovah, and particularly this part, Bill, I will put my law within them and write it upon their hearts. Talk about this really briefly.
Right. Jeremiah prophesied that Christ, as a righteous shoot of David, would be raised up. Then he would, of course, live this perfect human life, and then he would be crucified for our redemption. Then when we believe into him, God justifies us by faith in Christ, and then Christ becomes our righteousness objectively. But still, we need something inwardly and subjectively, and that is Christ himself dispensed into us as life, and this is the law of life, and this is what Jeremiah is talking about. I will put my laws within them and write them on their hearts. And this is the law of the spirit of life that Paul mentions in Romans chapter 8.
Wonderful. Well, that's it. That's the summary of Jeremiah. If we have this basic structure to see these three kernels, God's desire, what we are in our fallen condition, and what Christ is to us, then we come away with some very substantial and really beneficial intrinsic spiritual elements out of this book, don't we?
Right. Without these three kernels, we cannot open up Jeremiah.
All right, let's get to Witness Lee now. We will just have two short segments today because of time. We've taken quite a bit of time to do this summary, but I feel like it was worthwhile to put a good kind of finishing touch on the life study of Jeremiah. And the first section will be Witness Lee, somewhat underscoring a bit that we've been talking about just now. And then we'll also have a section sort of introducing Lamentations. So let's get to Witness Lee.
Jeremiah is a book full of spiritual significances. Every spiritual significance means a lot. But when we come to this book, we are easily distracted by the histories, by the autobiography, even by some of the prophecies. We would spend time to study history, to study Jeremiah's autobiography, and to study the prophecies. At the beginning of my reading this time, I used to tell my wife, nothing here. I said, nothing here. Just remembering all the time. Sometimes complaining. But eventually, I got into the intrinsic constitution of this book. Not so easy. What is the intrinsic constitution of this book? Firstly, this book tells us that Christ is the shoot of David. And his name to us is called Jehovah, our righteousness. And this is not a small thing. And this caused me to pay more attention to this book and something more. The new covenant with the law of life was firstly mentioned by Jeremiah. In his book, 31, 33 to 34, quoted by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 8. Because of these two things, Christ as the righteous shoot of David and the new covenant with the law of life, because of these two things, Jeremiah is a book on God's economy. Amen. To show us how God likes to get himself into us as our life. Then this life is our inner law of life. And in this life, we have the capacity to know God, to live God. Then in this capacity, we can do all things to fulfill God's economy.
Bill Heath concludes here by talking specifically about God's economy as it is revealed in Jeremiah. Of course, a short definition of God's economy is just God's plan to accomplish his purpose and goal in mankind and in human history. But give us some of the more specific things that Jeremiah really points us to and that are significant related to God's economy.
Brother Lee, of course, uses this term God's economy, which could be worded this way. It's God's plan to dispense or to impart his son Christ into the believers that we may grow up in the divine life. we may enjoy and partake of his divine life and nature and be built up as the church, as the body of Christ. This has been God's plan and God's economy from the ages. And Jeremiah gets into God's economy, but in a somewhat hidden way. Jeremiah talks about God will raise up to David a righteous shoot. And, of course, Jehovah will be our righteousness. Eventually, there God will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. He will impart his laws into our mind, write them in our heart, and so on. In this economy of God seen here in Jeremiah, you have David was the king there 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. And Jeremiah predicted that God would raise up a shoot to David. And, of course, we know this shoot is the incarnated Christ. Of course, Lamentations chapter 3 talks about God's mercies and his compassions that do not fail. In other words, there, if God would have fully and completely wiped out the nation of Israel, leaving no descendants of David, then God would have no way to bring his son Christ into humanity.
Yeah.
So Jeremiah is saying there that his compassions do not fail, although the majority of God's people failed God. They were devastated, right? So that eventually they would return from captivity, Chris, you know, after the 70-year captivity.
Right.
And some did return, a small remnant, but they did return. And at the time of Christ, of course, you have Joseph and Mary coming together, and both of them were descendants of David. Okay. So if the remnant had not returned from captivity, you know, back around 516 BC, then down the line of history, there would have been no descendant of David to bring forth Christ into humanity, Joseph and Mary. So when Christ was brought forth from Joseph and Mary, right, through the proper humanity, then the righteous shoot was there incarnated as the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that Christ could eventually accomplish redemption, right? He could die on the cross. He could redeem us. He could save us from our sins. Then he could become life to us in his resurrection and impart the law of life within us. And that law of life within us, Chris, has the capacity to grow within us and to transform us and to make us one with God and, of course, God one with us. And this, of course, produces the believers who corporately become the church, and that will carry out God's economy. So you have to realize what Jeremiah is talking about, the compassions, they fail not. God has to preserve a seed of David so that Christ could be born into humanity to carry out God's economy.
We have a tendency to take a verse like Lamentations 3:23 as a kind of a, you know, religious platitude, nice comforting words, God's compassions are never failing, and just, you know, get some comfort on that level. And that's fine, but it's not the end, and it's really not the depth of that verse that you just unfolded. It's all linked to God preserving this seed, that the coming righteous shoot out of David that will affect our entire salvation and make possible God's accomplishment of his eternal purpose. So this verse, it's really key to see, and we'll come to that when we get into Lamentations. Why don't we take a moment now, Bill, and jump to Lamentations, at least get an introduction, a little taste of Lamentations. And I read a couple of verses at the beginning of the program from chapter 1, and that is the first of the five Lamentations. The book is made up of five, which we'll maybe get a chance to just at least name off before we're done here. But again, how the city sits alone that was full of people. She who was once great among the nations has become like a widow. The first of these five lamentations has to do with the lamentations over the holy city being lost, devastated, destroyed. All right, let's join Witness Lee for this portion.
At that time, they didn't have the camera. If they had, I do believe Jeremiah would have got a lot of photos. But he has a living camera, according to his writing. He's very strong in memory, very strong in his mind. He got a lot of photos in his mind. After everything took place, right? Jerusalem was broken and burned. The palace was destroyed to the uttermost. And the king was captured, and the people were all devastated. The whole country was made a ruin. All the things are in this sorrowful, yet sympathetic prophet. While all the things were going on, he was sitting, history tells us, on a little hill above Jerusalem. He was sitting there. Look at Jerusalem. Look at the heaps of ruins. Tears came down. He just cannot avoid to write down all his feelings. This is why the five limitations came out. Every limitation was written by Jeremiah according to 22 alphabets of the Hebrew language. This shows he was written very slowly, very finely, with much dropping of tears. The five limitations was a praying of video of Jeremiah's feeling. He felt very sorrowful and very, very painful and very, very sympathetic concerning God's holy people, God's holy land, God's holy city, and God's holy temple, and also God's holy vessels. And I do believe it might be he was praying this video quite a few times. And he pondered at nearly every event. Think about it.
Bill, we do need to think about it. Here was Jeremiah. What a graphic picture Witness Lee just gave us, you know, sitting on the hill, overlooking the city, mm-hmm. witnessing all of this destruction and devastation and the temple and the vessels and the king and the people and the beautiful city itself just being wasted, and how this must have affected him, how he must have felt. And that really is what brings us to and into his lamentations. But we're, by God's mercy, we're not left there, are we?
Right. In those five lamentations, you really see desolation, destruction, affliction, discouragement. It's nothing but negative matters. And all of a sudden in Lamentations 3, you have this very encouraging word that the Lord's compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. And on one hand, the nation of Israel deserved the judgment because of their sinfulness and degradation. But on the other hand, you see God's tender mercies and compassions unveiled here, that he will not wipe out the nation of Israel. Eventually, he will gain the nation. And eventually, the seed of David, which is the shoot, a righteous shoot, will be raised up. And this is what happened about 5 or 6 centuries later. Christ was born. So the Lord surely fulfilled his promise to Jeremiah. Of course, it took a long time, but eventually right. God's promises are always fulfilled. So you have here hidden in chapter 3 a very positive word about God's compassions and mercies. And we also need this very much in our own daily life and our personal walk with the Lord.
It's good that we can end on this positive note, but I have to say, I was struck listening to this again, the soberness with which he spoke it, and it really ushered you into Jeremiah's own feeling. And how many tears do we shed over the state of God's people today? And in many ways, we see a lot of parallels, don't we, between our situation and the situation that Jeremiah found himself in the nation of Israel that had really departed from him, the fountain of living waters.
Right. There are many parallels, as you say. You look at the situation today, even among many of our fellow believers, many times situations come up which are quite devastating. But we have to realize and we have to believe that the Lord is after something. He wants to gain something from that situation. Eventually, the Lord will gain his purpose and he will fulfill his economy.
Well, the shoot of righteousness, this righteous shoot has come, and he really is Jehovah our righteousness. And the law of life is operating and inscribing the very life element of God in Christ into our hearts through the Spirit. Well, that's a good high point to end this life study that ends Jeremiah and somewhat opens the door for us for 4 more programs touching these 5 different lamentations. Bill, I've enjoyed your participation here a number of times in this life study of Jeremiah. I really look forward to being together again many times as we continue on in our life study through the entire Bible.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
Okay, we invite you to contact us. We'd love to get this printed volume. It's a one-volume book that covers both Jeremiah and Lamentations. And if you would like to receive that, contact us toll-free, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. Or write to us at Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or send email to radio@lsm.org. For Bill Lawson, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to Thee. Receive us into Thy wise hands.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. Living Stream Ministry is dedicated to the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China during the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Watchman Nee sent Witness Lee to carry out this ministry in Taiwan. Later, the Lord led him to the United States and eventually to the rest of the world before he went to be with the Lord in 1997. Living Stream Ministry now has hundreds of titles by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee available in English, plus many in more than 50 other languages. To find out more about Living Stream and all that we offer, visit our website, lsm.org. You can also reach us toll-free at 1-888-543-3788 or email us radio@lsm.org. Thanks for listening.